Hi, I'm Alan Brady. You remember me from the Alan Brady Show?
Yes, if Alan needs any help.
Shut up, Al.
Yes, sir.
Shut up, Al.
Shut up, Al.
Yes, sir.
I had the best TV writers on my show. Rob Petrie. Sally Rogers.
Hey, I got it. Don't anybody move.
And Buddy Sorrell.
Well, hey, you moved. I forgot it.
The legendary Carl Reiner has been at the center
of... Scott, before you...
Yes,
Dave,
sir.
I'd like to tell you something.
Yes, sir.
Shut up, Dave. That's Alan Brady talking.
I love that. I love that.
You know, when you got Alan Brady telling you to shut up, that's pretty legendary right there. Dave Schwann.
Shut up, Dave.
Shut up, Dave. I love that. That first year I interviewed him, I said, can we do just a promo for the show, too? And he said, yeah, sure. He goes, welcome back to the Alan Brady Show. I said, no, it's the Dave Plyer Show. He goes, no, it's the Alan Brady Show. And I said, no, it's the Dave Plyer Show. And he goes, shut up, Dave.
And the timing on that.
Oh, yeah.
Was amazing when you watch those routines. It was incredible.
We're talking about the legendary Carl Reiner, who passed away earlier this week. And I had the opportunity over the last 7 years to interview him literally 8 times. And we just spoke. I did a comedy night on my show one night and had all kinds of comedians. And Carl was one of those guys. And we talked about the pandemic. And you know, he's like, I'm not leaving the house anyway. But, you know, I'm still keeping busy. And that was his thing. He was 98 years old, and he told me very clearly that I'm just not ready to check out yet. Like, I got things to do.
Yeah.
And he was still writing a couple books a year. He was part of that movie about, you know, if you don't see your name in the obituary, go have breakfast. Yeah. That was on HBO with who was it? Dick Van Dyke and creator of the
Think about Dick Van Dyke. He's still going strong.
94. Who am I thinking of? Norman Lear. He's 96 or 97 actually at this
Mel
point.
Brooks Mel is Brooks is in his 90s now.
Yeah. So Carl and Mel Brooks, and we would talk about this on air. We would always tape our interviews before Mel would come over, and Mel would come over almost every night since both their wives passed away, and they would pull out the old metal TV trays and have dinner, whether they ordered out or Mel brought something with them, and they would watch Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune together.
Is that right?
Every night. In fact, he was there the night Carl passed away. I mean, he was posting stuff on Twitter on Sunday, posting some pictures, and then he had dinner with Mel on Monday, I believe. And I talked to his publicist yesterday, and he said, you know, just to let you know, when did you interview him again? I said, well, I think it was mid-April, like April 14th. He goes, yeah, you were his last interview ever on planet Earth. And I thought, well, what an honor that is. And this is a guy that, you know, we talk about the Dick Van Dyke Show, but he was a writer on your show's shows, right?
Yes, along with Mel. Woody Allen was part of that. Think of the minds.
Neil Simon.
The collective minds. Yeah. Neil Simon.
Yeah.
All of those guys in one room putting together a show. I remember my parents talking about your show of shows, Sid Caesar, and, you know, week in, week out, they had America just laughing.
Yeah, and he produced and directed all of the Steve Martin movies over the years. And then he was in Ocean's 11, 12, 13. I mean, the guy never stopped working. So what I'm going to share with you this morning, guys, just a little bit of the opening of the interview that we did in April, and then talking a little bit about the Dick Van Dyke Show as well. Curtis?
Well, I love those credits. And I always have to check people. I wrote a book. A 271-page book called How to Live Forever. And I co-wrote it with a Pakistani man.
Mm-hmm.
And his name was Sumwoonhooz. Man who, How to Live Forever by Carl Reiner and Someone Who Has. That's his name.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And the reason I tell you it's 271 pages is that the first line of the book says, when you wake up in the morning, it's good to have a project to work on.
Yeah.
Wake up with a project in mind. Work on that project all day. Improve it. When you approve of its improvements, start a new project. I say that for 271
That's
pages.
Awesome. Yeah. No, I know you and Dick Van Dyke are on the same wavelength. I mean, he's all about keep moving, and that's what it's all about.
No, that's it. If you wake up, I always said if I wake up in the morning and I read the newspaper and I'm not in the obits, I'll have my breakfast.
Of course. I saw you and best friend Mel Brooks on CBS Sunday Morning last week. You know, you both served in World War II, and thank you for your service, by the way. And your mantra was, you know, we did it before, and we can do it again. We are going to get through this.
Oh, I hope so. Who ever dreamed of a thing called coronavirus? I mean,
right.
Coronavirus. The things that are happening today are like dreams.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and the streets are empty. Today I drove to get a dentist. I couldn't believe the streets.
Yeah.
Nobody in the streets.
Nobody. Even driving down here, you know, for doing the show on a typical Friday night. I mean, there's nobody on the roads, nobody walking around. And that's a good thing. I mean, that does mean on some level people are listening, right?
I guess.
Yeah. You and Mel usually get together for dinner and watch Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune.
He comes to the house.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he has the cars that pick him up and take him. And
Oh, that's great. All right. So you're keeping that up, at least. I think that's good. I think part of getting through this is keeping your spirits up, keeping informed, but not watching this every single minute and the coverage 24/7. It's too much. You got to laugh a little bit, right?
Oh, you have to. As I search the paper every day for something that's going to tickle me. And there is always something on television.
Well, I got to tell you, when I thought about providing some comic relief to our audience and sharing some legendary stories, you are truly the first guy that came to mind. So thank you for hanging out with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Kind of hang out with somebody.
That's right.
Alan, if you're going to have lunch and get to that meeting, you better get going. Shut up, Mel.
Do you have anything to say, Alan?
Shut up, Dave.
Yes, Alan. Okay, we're talking to the great Carl Reiner, and there's more when we come back on 720 WGN.
Yeah, I always said you were the top comedian, Alan.
Shut up, Mel.
Yes, sir.
It's Dave Player on 720 WGN. We're talking to TV legend Carl Reiner. So, late 50s, we're talking about 1959, you produced and wrote a TV pilot called Head of the Family based on your life on your show or shows. While you were on vacation one summer.
Yeah, I was asked to do a show, and somebody said, and I said to myself, what do I know about? And I on this West Side Drive going home, I said, nobody's different. Everybody's the same. The guys who are married, you know, and
yep.
They got the same life. And I said, well, what do I do? I said, well, I'm a writer, actor on the show, and I live in New Rochelle. I have a wife and two kids. I said, I'll write about that. And I wrote a thing called Head of the Family. Peter Lawford picked up the money for the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
We did a pilot with Barbara Britton.
Right.
And a couple other people. And it didn't sell. I was okay, but I was not good enough. So I felt badly because I had written, knowing I was going to be in it, I had written 13 episodes
sure.
already to go. And I said, this is crazy. So my agent said, they couldn't believe that these episodes are not going to be ever seen.
Yeah.
So we got the idea to find another actor. And somebody said, Dick Van Dyke. I didn't know who he was. I went to New York and saw him in Bye Bye Birdie with Cheetah Rivera.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, there may be the most talented human being that ever lived.
Yeah.
And we hired him. And the rest, of course, is wonderful history.
Well,
we found him in 1 second. Mary Tyler Moore, it took months. I saw 23 girls before she walked into the room on those legs with that black hair and those eyes. And I remembered telling Sheldon Leonard, who was our executive producer, I said, I don't know what I'm looking for. He said, you'll know when you see it. Well, she walked in the room one day, and she read the first line of the page, and I made my hand into the claw that in Penny Arcade picks up candy, and I walked across with my hand, the claw grabbed the top of her head, walked her across the floor, and I deposited it in Sheldon's. My Sheldon, I found her. And that was Mary.
Well, and you were bouncing around names like Full House, Double Trouble, All in a Day's Work, and then came the Dick Van Dyke Show, and Rosemary said to you, she said, "What's a Dick Van Dyke?"
Oh, yeah, well, what's a Dick Rose, you know, the funny thing, we got off on the wrong foot. I wrote a show about the home life of a writer, and she thought the show was about television writers. And I said, oh, my. She's got it all wrong. And when they hired her, she later on, she did a, there's a documentary done on Rosemary from the time she's four years old.
Yeah.
And I saw that documentary, and I said, and I, to this day, there's never been a greater documentary about a more talented human being than Rosemary. At 4 years old, I remember her singing Baby Rosemary, and she was hired by Bugsy Siegel.
Yeah, the mob, Al Capone.
Two mob guys. They went to Vegas and started Vegas with the first star, Rosemary, at 4 years of age.
Yeah.
Her history is unbelievable. We became dear friends after that, but at the very beginning, when we got off on the wrong foot, she thought it was about, you know.
TV writers. Yeah, I saw that documentary. I think most people who knew her from her career knew her from Dick Van Dyke and Hollywood Squares. I don't think anybody knew she had a 30, 40-year career even before that. It was very well done.
And the sad thing was that her father was a manager, and he took her around. She got $80, $90 a week. She lived with her mother in a one-room apartment with no stove, heating plate, and she lived in poverty while her father lived in it's the saddest life ever.
It is.
But she had a great life. She had a wonderful husband, a daughter, and so she. It was wonderful to find out the whole history of her life.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great cast all the way around. And I got to tell you, I was born in 67, so I discovered the show in reruns in the 70s on WGN TV here in Chicago. And still to this day, and I say this honestly, and I tell people this all the time, I think it's one of the best sitcoms of all time. It's timeless. And some shows, as you know, too, watching shows from the 50s, 60s, they don't stand up that well with the test of time because of the topics and subject matter.
As a matter of fact, I assiduously, when I did the show, I remember saying it to myself and then telling every writer who ever came, I said, there is no timeline in this show. I said, I don't want to hear any slang of the day. I don't want to hear any politics of the day. This is about a family. The families are the same. They don't change that much from era to era. And I said, if we write about who we are, write about yourself and your wife and your children.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I said, you'll have a Dick Van Dyke Show. And by the way, we were going to do it in color, and they said it would cost $16,000 or so. I said, we'd never make money. Today, they're colorizing them.
Yeah, they are. I know they are. And they're great, by the way. And I love the ones that you've handpicked so far. I want to see the Christmas one. Colorized.
Yeah,
that's another one on the list. You know, you wrote 40 of the first 60 shows of the Dick Van Dyke Show. I mean, you were the passion for this show was so evident. Your character of Alan Brady, people thought it was based on Sid Caesar, but it was not.
No, Sid Caesar was the best boss you can possibly have. We ate together every week. We went to lunch and went to dinners on Saturday. We were all very dear friends, but I said, for a boss, you need a prototype of somebody who makes it tough to work for. Mm-hmm. And I thought of Phil Silvers, who did a thing on Broadway, and I I had his image in my mind of a rough guy who always berated the writers, and I said, well, who do you play him? And it was a small part. Actually, I only had a one or two line part. So I said, I'll do his voice with my head on the phone or something, and they won't know it's me. Of course, they will say, he's not a, you know, that's not a big star. That's a second banana.
Right.
So, but after we got some of the shows got more complicated, I had to turn myself around, and we called me Alan Brady. His original show name was Alan Sturdy, and Sheldon Leonard said, sounds like Alan's Dirty.
Said, oh. Is that what changed it? That's funny.
We'll call him Alan Brady.
Oh, man. Well, the biggest highlight was Coast to Coast Big Mouth. I mean, that was where Laura outed you, you know, for the wigs and stuff. I mean, it was just legendary. Fast forwarding a bit, you know, Steve Martin got his start on the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. Johnny Carson had him on frequently, but you brought him to the big screen in The Jerk, and then later Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid and The Man with Two...
We did four pictures together because he was one of the guys, you know, not to finish a sentence in talking and directing him. He knew exactly where you were going, and he would go there and then some. He is today, you know, considered by many one of the great, you know, comedians of all time.
Yeah. And one of the
and
things.
By the way, he said that the greatest comedian of all time is Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, see, I find that wild because now, okay, Dick Van Dyke had a variety show in the 70s that was, it was critically acclaimed, but ratings deprived. Steve Martin wrote for Dick Van Dyke in that show. How would you describe the talent of these two and the similarities between them?
Oh, you know, there's no describing these two guys. They are. Comedians are. They're born it or whatever comes into the influences that come into their lives, usually family members that don't get along or something. It's usually there's a fly in the ointment in that family. But they all did well. And the thing that I love more than anything is that Steve Martin never thought he'd get married or have children. And he has a child, and he dotes over that.
Yeah, it's
lovely.
Awesome.
Daughter.
Beautiful. The great Carl Reiner. Carl, be well, stay healthy, and again, happy birthday to you. I'm thrilled you always say yes when I reach out to have a conversation. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much. We'll do this again if I can live.
You're going to do it. I'm already planning our interview for your 100th. We're all good. Oh. I got it scheduled.
Okay.
All right. Take care, Carl.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.